In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God, amen. Before we get started, since today is Father's Day, and since fathers usually get no respect and no love, we should start off before we get into the sermon by saying happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are out there. Father's Day never really was that important to me till about a year and a half ago. Then all of a sudden it became very important to me. So make sure that every father gets some respect and gets some love today. You know, I was looking at the gospel and I wanted to see what would be our gospel on Father's Day and hoping for a nice gospel. And I opened up this one and I was so happy because this is one of those gospels that everyone loves this guy. This is a very, very nice, happy gospel. It's the story you all know very, very well about the man who was paralyzed and Christ was in the house and preaching and it was so crowded so they opened the roof and they brought him down and God heals the man of, he says, his sins are forgiven, and then he heals the man of his sickness and he says that the faith of the four guys was great and everyone claps and everyone glorifies God and it's an amazing story and everyone is it's just a really, really happy story all the way around from start to finish. That's the way I always looked at the gospel until actually yesterday. Yesterday was the first time I looked at it in a little bit of a different light. Because there's one verse that's in the gospel that when I read it, it changed entirely the way I looked at it. And it actually was the first verse. And it was verse 17. Skip ahead. So look what it says here. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." It's that last sentence, "the power of the Lord was present to heal them," that caused me a little bit to rethink this gospel a little bit. After this, the gospel goes on, and like I said, a story of a great miracle, and everyone's happy, and everyone cheers, and everything is great. But this verse says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. To heal who? Who is them that this verse is talking about? Well, I only see two people mentioned in this, and it's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Wait a minute. We're talking about healing them for it. They're not sick. They don't have any problems. The sick guy is the paralyzed guy. Or are they sick? Well, you and I know that they did have a sickness, and it was much worse than a physical sickness because it was a spiritual sickness, and it was a sickness of sin, sickness of pride, and more importantly, sickness of denial of the truth about their true state before God. You see, when the Bible goes out of its way to include this verse, I don't think it's by accident. And this gospel, while it is a very happy gospel, to me is not just a gospel of a great miracle done. But to me, this is a gospel of a miracle that was missed out upon. To me, this is not a gospel of a great healing that took place, but a great healing that didn't take place. This is not a gospel of sick people who were healed. This is a gospel of sick people who missed a chance at healing. Because while it is true that the paralyzed man was healed, and while it is true that many, many people were healed on this day, and surely many people were healed, surely many people were not healed, and that's what the gospel is pointing out today. And that to me is a sad thing to think about. And I started to think about it. I wonder if that ever happens to me. I wonder if that verse ever applies to me in my life. I wonder if there's ever a time in my life where if God is up there and he's writing the story, talks about a time where he was present in my life and it would say the power of the Lord was present to heal him. And then I didn't get healed. If the power of the Lord was present to fix something, and then it didn't get fixed. And I end up like the Pharisees who I came and went just like I was. See, the thing is, Pharisees didn't realize that they missed out on something great this day. And in the same token, many times the power is there for us, but sometimes we're none the wiser, and we don't realize what it is that we're missing out upon. So we want to figure out what that power is today. What is that power? Where that power comes from. Most importantly, how is it that I don't miss out on it? Because I don't want to be like these guys. I don't want the end of my life to be written the story that says the power of God was present there to heal him, but it didn't happen. So with that, first of all, the power. Where does the power come from? The power is very, very simple. The power is there because God's presence is there. And the very fact that God is standing there through His Son means that the power of healing is there. Sometimes we think that God gives us healing. I don't think that's the right way of looking at it. We don't ask God for healing. We don't want God to give us healing. If we have God, God is healing. We don't go to God and ask for strength. If we are in God, God is strength. We don't go to God to ask for blessing. If we have God, God is blessing. And it's the same thing with healing. If you have God, you have healing in your presence. You don't need extra things. It's not like you need to go to God and then get healing. God is healing. What kind of healing? Physical healing for the paralyzed man, spiritual healing, his sins are forgiven, emotional healing, relational healing, total healing. There's not a thing in the world that God can't heal. And if you want to know why everything that we do, why we do everything that we do, why everything that God did, He did, from cover to cover of the Bible is the story of God trying to heal and God trying to solve the problem that sin caused. Sin caused lots of problems in the world, and from the very, very start to the very, very, very end, God's mission has been to solve it and to fix it. So what He said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 there, beginning of His ministry, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." God didn't send His Son into the world to make people miserable, or just to have a good time and write stories, or to teach people stuff. He sent Him into the world to heal our sickness, to fix our problems. And it was the same thing with the Pharisees today. You see, Christ came to that person's house. He wasn't coming to fight with the Pharisees. He wasn't coming to yell at them. He wasn't coming to give them a hard time. He was coming to heal them. And that's what it says right there, that His power was there and was present to heal them. But the problem is they didn't want to be healed because they didn't see Him as a healer. They saw Him as someone who's just coming to give me a hard time. Someone who's just coming as a threat to my goals in life, my agenda, my plans, my fun. So they didn't get healed because they didn't see Him as a healer. Their way of looking at Him limited His ability to heal them. That's what the gospel teaches us. And you look at this in hindsight, you look back on it, you say these people were fools. How foolish these people were. They had the power to be healed in their presence, but they just didn't recognize it. It's very sad when I see people do the same thing in this life. You see people who do that. Some people are against the idea of God because God is coming just to ruin my fun, or God is coming just to be mean to me, or God is coming just to take away my goals and my plans in life, or something like that. That isn't why God is coming. Look what it says in John chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I'm telling you, the same thing for the Pharisees, the same thing for you, that God has come into your life. We talked about Pentecost last week and how the Spirit is in your life and the Spirit came pouring upon you. Why? Why all this? Well, very simple. To save you, to heal you from sin, to heal you from all the sicknesses that are associated with our sinful nature. And the beautiful thing is that there's no problem that He can't solve. And the readings of today made that clear over and over and over and over again. If you came last night to Ashaya, you heard about a great healing that took place. If you were here and you were paying attention to the readings today, you heard about a miracle in the book of Acts. And if you were paying attention during the gospel reading, you see that the healing is not just physical, but it's spiritual. Well, as he said, this man's sins are forgiven. You see, this man, this paralyzed man, showed up on this day a mess. His life was a disaster. Spiritually, full of sins. Physically, couldn't move. Snap of a fingers, and boom, everything is fixed. Boom, everything is fixed. Physically, walk, jump, run, scream, do what you want. Spiritually, your sins are forgiven you. What more could this man have asked for in one day? What I'm telling you, this is not a unique experience. This is what God wanted to do with the Pharisees and with the teachers of the law. It's what He wants to do with you as well, if you will just let Him. There is no thing that you may have done that is too bad. There is no problem that is too bad that God can't solve. You know, early on in my life, I realized I wasn't supposed to be a doctor. Because anytime I see like a cut or an icky thing like that, I get grossed out. Again, I can't look at it, and it's disgusting and stuff like that. And sometimes I'll be like, I can't look at that stuff. And sometimes I think God looks at me the same way, but it's not true. God never looks at us that way. No matter how icky you may be, no matter how disgusting your sins may be, physically or spiritually or emotionally or whatever, there's no sin that he can't solve. There's no problem that he can't fix. There's no enslavement that we're in that he can't heal right away, if you'll just let him. Recently, not too long ago, I was with a group of like high school and college youth from another church. And we spent like a day together. And we did like a little mini retreat together. And we were talking about a life of purity. We talked about what it means to live a life of purity, but more importantly, the rewards of a life of purity and the benefits of a life of purity. And we talked about how that, yes, it's hard to be pure, and yes, it's hard to go against the ways of this world, but if you do it, God has a great reward for you. And if you're able to keep yourself pure, God will reward you and bless your marriage, and God will give you freedom over all kinds of stuff. And we talked about examples of people who were living as slaves to sexual sin and received the freedom and the joy and all this kind of stuff that they had, and everyone was on cloud nine. And then at the end, I start talking about how if you want this, it's available for you, but you have to make a commitment. You have to make like a purity covenant. You have to like stand before God and say, I will live a life of purity. And then I asked them their response. I said, let me just shut up for a little bit and just listen. Man, it was really hard to keep my mouth shut. They started talking about things like, well, I agree, but you know, we don't want to rush into any commitments that we're not sure that we can keep. So let's take it slow. Or maybe let's take some time. Let's take 6 months to like fast and pray about this decision and discuss with my father of confession and let me, you know, read a little bit about it before I jump right in. I don't want to do things too quickly. Like I said, I was fuming on the inside until finally I couldn't take it anymore and I exploded. I said, what in the world are you talking about? What in the world is going on right here? God is offering to you a life of freedom. He's offering to you a life of healing. He's offering to you a life, an abundant life, a new life. And you say, let me think about it? Well, don't take it then. If you don't want it, don't take it. You're not doing God any favors. We come here to church. We come to be healed because we're sick. We're not coming here to do God any favors. If you don't want healing, walk away. Yeah, no one's going to cry or anything like that. We got to realize that he came to save me. He came to help me. I'm a man who was dying. I'm a poor beggar person who was lying in the street. And he came to give me a home. And everything that he did from start to finish was to heal me from my sin and from my sickness. And we must realize that, or else we'll be just like these Pharisees and these guys. God came so that no matter what your problem is in life, it can be solved. There's no problem. Physical, emotional, spiritual, no problem that can't be solved. I don't care if you've fallen into the same sin 10,000 times and you've been a slave to the same temper or lust or anger or pride or whatever for a million years. I don't care. God can heal it and can solve it today. And just his very presence, means that the power is present to heal you. But, there's a big but. Just his presence enough doesn't mean that you're going to be healed. We saw that with the Pharisees. Presence was there, no healing. Teachers of the law were sick. They walked out the same way that they came. And I think if we examine our own lives, we'll see the same thing. Many times we're in the presence of God. Many times we're right here. We take his body and his blood right here. There it is, right there. We walk out the same way that we came. Why is that? Well, that's the second thing that we need to figure out. And this is just common sense here. God's presence, God is the healer, but in order to be healed, very simple. I got to admit that I'm sick. Common sense, logic, right? I must not deny my illness and my true state. Doctors will tell you that there's nothing sadder in life than to see someone sick and not willing to admit it. See someone sick and in denial. Denial of the truth of their true state. And I unfortunately have to see the same thing spiritually as well. Well, someone will try to convince me and convince themselves that they're really not in as much trouble as they really are. There's nothing sadder than to see someone in denial of the true situation in life. Well, since today is Father's Day, there's one particular illness that a lot of our fathers struggle with. And it gets worse from year to year for many of them. It's baldness, okay? Losing your hair, okay? Now, since God has blessed me with a full head of hair despite my old age, I believe that I can use this opportunity to poke a little fun at those who have lost a few of their hairs over the years. So, male baldness is an illness that has afflicted many, 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 many people. And it's bad. But you know what's really bad is those who are in denial of it. Okay? Those who refuse to admit it and those who try to cover it up. You know what I'm talking about. Some people try, when they're losing the hair here, to just grow these out really, really long and then just kind of do like this to it, right? And no one will notice. No one will see it, right? Well, we're here to tell all the gentlemen in the room that everyone can see it, okay? Everyone can see it. All it takes is one windy day, and phew, the whole thing goes off, and the cover is blown, okay? So stop living in denial and just own up to it like everyone else. Like I said, it's sad to see someone with an illness of baldness. It's sadder to see someone in denial of that illness, trying to cover it up. But you know what would make it even more sad? Let's say that person who's covered up his baldness, who's walking around trying to deny it, is like the president of the Hair Club for Men. Or like the vice president of Rogaine Incorporated or something like that. And that's even more sad. You know why? Because that person is helping other people to be solving their illnesses. He's watching other people fix their baldness and watching other people grow hair. And he the whole time is in denial of his own problem. That's exactly what happened here with these guys. Who was it that wasn't healed of the sickness? The bad guys? The sinners were healed. Many times Christ met sinners, prostitutes, harlots, tax collectors. All of them, every one of them could have been healed. Every one of them, many of them were healed and living a life of freedom and all that kind of stuff. Who wasn't healed? The Bible said today, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And you know, if you go to the Old English, the King James Version, the word isn't teachers of the law. St. Luke uses the word doctors of the law. That's the original word. St. Luke, who himself is a physician by trade, you think he was trying to point out something here? That who was it that wasn't healed? It was the doctors themselves. How can that be? How can the doctors be sick? It's like, how can you have a hairdresser with a bad haircut? How can the doctors, the teachers, be the ones who end up not being healed? Well, very simple. They didn't admit they were sick. I don't care how good the medicine is. I don't care how good the doctor is. If the patient doesn't feel like he needs the medicine, if the patient doesn't walk into the hospital and admit himself, he's never going to be healed. I don't care how good the medicine is. I don't care how good the doctor is. It doesn't make a difference. These Pharisees, if they would have stood there like the other man and admitted their sinfulness and admitted their spiritual state, they'd have been healed. And don't think otherwise. Don't think there was something against them that meant that they couldn't be healed. If they were willing to admit they were sick, they'd have been healed just like everyone else. And there would have been no fighting between them and Christ. But they weren't willing to admit that sickness. So, the healing came and the healing left. And they stayed exactly the same as they were. When I think about this stuff, it just makes you want to like go crazy. How come? How could you do this, man? Like, don't be so foolish. You're in the hospital. You're standing with the doctor. You're watching him heal others. Just tell him that you're sick. How could you be so foolish, man? You know what they would say? Say, what are you talking about? I'm not sick. I'm fine. I'm a good person. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I never killed anyone. I'm doing my best. What are you talking about? Okay. Healer comes in. Healer goes out. You stay the exact same. No healing for you. I don't care how many doctors are there. I don't care how much the good healer is in your presence. If you don't think you're sick, you're never going to get healed. And that was the problem they had. And to be honest, that's a problem a lot of us have as well. Is that we are not willing to admit our sickness. Why do you think we make such a big deal out of this self-examination thing? Why do you make such a big deal out of repentance? Why make such a big deal out of examining yourself and seeing your true state? Because if you don't, you will never be healed. You know, I finally understood a verse that, I'll be honest, I never understood for my entire life until recently. It's what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. St. Paul is talking about when Christ appeared to him, and Christ appeared to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The part that I never understood is the next part. He says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Do you understand what he's saying here? Saying, "I will rather boast in my infirmities. I am proud of my weakness and my illness." Why? That didn't make any sense. Because St. Paul figured out a very, very important key to life, that the only way to get healing is to admit that you're sick. And St. Paul is the kind of guy who, if he could have shown up every single morning at the hospital before it even opened, he'd have been there before they even opened the door, saying, "I'm the most sick person here. Give me the medicine. I need the healing. I need the medicine." That's why he showed up every single day in his prayer at the foot of the throne of Christ and said, "I am sick. I am a sinful, sinful man. I know my weakness. I know my bad stuff. Give me healing. Give me grace." And he knew that the only way to get more grace is to realize your sinfulness. That's why he never once, okay, even though St. Paul, don't get confused, wasn't committing adultery and murder and all these kinds of stuff, all right? But he looked at it and said, "I boast in my infirmities." Look at it this way. Imagine you got cancer. You're going to die. But they invent a medicine that says you can live as long as you take this medicine. But there's a catch. You can't take like 2 days dosages in advance. You can only take it that day. You show up at the hospital, it's the only place you can get the medicine. You take it and you're good for that day. If you don't show up the next day, you're no promises, no guarantees of what's going to happen. What would you do? What would you do that every single day? You do what I would do. You'd be standing there, first line, first guy in the morning to get that medicine because you know that you can't live without it. It's the same thing spiritually. Do you know that spiritually you cannot live without the grace of God? Do you know spiritually that you are nothing without God's healing? And do you show up every single morning to get more? These Pharisees did not. That's why they got no healing. So please, let's try not to be like these guys, okay? Please beware of this. Beware of this disease. Because like I said in the beginning, the one thing that's in common between everyone who has this disease is they don't see it. Okay, they don't realize it. They don't realize that they have this illness. So please beware, because it is deadly. Beware of thinking that you don't need a doctor because you got it figured out already on your own. Please beware of that. Please beware of ever going to the hospital and just going as like a visitor and just kind of examining and checking out the doctor. He could have done it better this way. Criticizing him on this one. Please beware of that. You are not going to the hospital as a visitor or as a critic. You are going as a sick man who will die if you don't get treatment. Please beware of being so wise in your own eyes that you don't realize that you are a fool in the eyes of God. Please beware of that. And please, finally, beware that when you hear the Word of God preached to you, that when you read the Word of God, that you think 10,000 different things, but never once think that I need to change my life. Please beware, because that's a dangerous situation to be in. Like I said, this gospel is a happy gospel, great healing, but it's also a very sad gospel, because when I look at this gospel, I see those who came and left the exact same way that they started, even though they were in the presence of a great healer. I hope it's not that way for us. I hope it's not that way for us today, but I know that for some it will be. For some people, we'll come here today, will come straight to the presence of the healer. Will some of you, God will write your story today and he'll say, "The power of the Lord was present this day to heal you." But nothing. I know that the power of the Lord is present here. I know it's present when you go home and you stand in prayer. I know it's there. Okay, that's not question. Okay, that's there. It's here. It's their body and it's their blood. But the question is how you're going to respond. And what's going to be your end of it? I know God's end of it. But what I don't know is how you're going to respond. You get to write the end of the story. Okay? I wrote the start of it. The start of the story says that you came to the hospital and the power of the Lord was present there to heal you. You get to write the next sentence by how you approach this liturgy, by how you approach your quiet time, by how you approach your prayer, by how you approach the Word of God, by how you approach the words that I just said to you and what you decide to do about it. You write the end of the story, and glory be to God forever. Amen.